At first you may wonder, what does John 50 never have to do with joy? Until you get to that pivotal verse, verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Well, I'm certainly delighted to be back, to be with you for a morning, and delighted to hear that the Spirit is still working in Essex Church. I hear recently you had 8 professions of faith in this congregation, and baptism today, and you're still thriving, and that's a joy to me to experience. But this morning we have even bigger reasons for joy. Now, joy is something we all want. It's a major goal, and we try to get it in different ways. And some of the other needs we have, like connection and purpose in life and appetite and things like that, are things that we do and that are driven to security in our work, also indirectly to bring joy. And so this morning we're going to think a little bit about having it, experiencing it, and then sharing it. And of course, before you can share it, you've got to have it yourself. And joy is like that. How can you expect to share something that you don't have yourself? You end up sharing unhappiness or discontentment. And then pretty soon in the room, the atmosphere changes and everybody feels the same way. But we all want it. And we will go to sometimes extremes and do dangerous and risky things to try to get it. A Barry Swartz in the Atlantic Monthly magazine that I get, a secular magazine, he even observed that happiness as a byproduct of living your life is a great thing, and we'll do a lot of things to get it. But as a final goal, it's a recipe for disaster. And in life's experience, we tend to find that out. Just when you try to find it, when you try to pursue it and go after it in all the messy ways that we do, you find out it escapes us. Kind of slips through your fingers. You think you've got it for a moment, you've got a happy day, and then all of a sudden, disaster. Or you say, is that it? Just like January, that's why they call it Blue January, you know, because all the fun is over and the happiness is over and it's back to normal. A moment of delight can often become a nightmare. But something else happens too when you aim for joy or try to pursue joy as an ultimate goal. You just can't get enough of it. That's why you keep going. Build your financial empire, build your celebrity success. And as you reach each new level and grade upwards, you're pressure to continue on because you're still dissatisfied. You haven't reached it, you haven't got it. And so you get into addictive ways, harmful ways, extreme ways, and whatever shape you can try to muster up this feeling of joy. And so you find out that some of the very successful people in life, at the end of their careers, and at a certain stage in their career, are still not satisfied. They still haven't found it. Whereas folks of meager means, often with disabilities, with lots of challenges, lots of things that aren't going well for them, somehow they're held together with joy. It's the strangest thing. I like C.S. Lewis, as you may remember, and he wrote the book on joy. But he said a most interesting thing. Joy itself, he says, considerably as an event in my own life, in my own mind, turned out to be of no value at all. That's a strange thing for somebody to say who just wrote the book on joy. Not that he didn't experience it or appreciate it, but at the same time he states, to tell you the truth, the subject lost all interest for me since I became a Christian. Now that caught me off guard a little bit. But he discovered that joy is not something you chase after. It's something that's just given. It's a given. That's why we sang this morning, sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." He brings joy. He gives joy. And Amelie brings joy. She gives joy. There'll be some times in the middle of the night when they're not that happy, when they have to get up, and in her growing pains and that sort of thing, but she still brings joy. She still brings joy. And that brings me to John 15, because at first you think, how can this be an Advent reading on joy? I mean, there's several instructions with painful consequences if you don't follow them. You've got to love, and you know that love is a hard thing to do. Lay down your life for your friends? What joy is that? The requirement to bear fruit and be a disciple of Jesus? That's not what I was expecting to hear. And yet, John 15 has everything to do with joy. I've told you this, he says, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It's a given. When we pursue other things in our life, joy was never meant to be your and my goal to pursue. We don't have to. And when we do, we usually get into trouble. He gives you joy and the reason for joy. In fact, it comes when you focus on other things than joy. As soon as it becomes your ultimate goal, you end up without it or being dissatisfied with what you've got, even though it's a happy moment. High achievers, yes, high achievers, who made joy their own personal goal, end up without it. Why those who have major challenges in life are held together with joy, because it is a gift, whatever the circumstances. Now that's kind of different the way we go at life in our culture. We're all suffering the results or dealing with the results of trying to survive a very self-centered life and bringing it into our lives, ourselves. And just the feeling of it is very important to us. Instead of a quality of life that we develop, that Jesus makes possible by coming into the world. So you want joy? Forget about it for a while. Forget about it for a while. That's what Jesus is saying. Remain in me. I'll remain in you. Bear fruit as a branch. Love each other as I've loved you. And greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And of course, he did that in a big way. And then you'll have your joy. It's given to you as a friend of Jesus Christ. He has targeted you and me and marked you and me and appointed us to bear fruit in his name. So joy happens. It comes to you when you participate in the life and the work of Jesus Christ. It's so much more than just a desired pleasure or moment in response to some kind of stimulus that you try to enact. It's more like this undercurrent of life that's always there and that's keeping you going and holding you together because you already have it and someone has accomplished it for you by coming into the world. It's a gift that lasts, whatever happens with you and to you. But as soon as you and I kind of chase it down, you might get a brief moment of pleasure and relief. You might experience a ripple of delight, yes, and we go on that. But Jesus wants you to do much, much more than that. He wants you and me to experience the joy of life that he gives and life in him. So if it's joy you want, give your life away to Jesus Christ. The Christ who came into this world and left all the glory of heaven to walk with us in this messy world. Not a joyful experience, but to bring joy into the world, into your and my life, and who even laid down his life, as we're going to celebrate in a few moments, to bring joy back into the world as his gift to you and me. Be a follower of Jesus, and you'll have joy. And once you have it, and you experience it as a gift, that's when you want to share it. Not just to let your happy feeling rub off on somebody else. That might annoy somebody, in fact, if they're having a bad day. It's nice you feel that way. I don't feel that way. You don't focus again so much on the feeling, but you share the joy by picking up on the command that Jesus gives. Love each other as I have loved you. When you start doing that, people experience your joy. Trust each other with respect and integrity and honesty. And even if you don't like a particular person, that can be very effective when you still care about his or her development and growth. It may inconvenience you. It may change your plans. It may seem to restrict you and inhibit on your own rights. It may deprive you of personal pleasures. It may test your patience. It may even challenge your own privileges and life of privilege. But what it does do, it lets someone see the joy of Christ and how that has shaped your life. Because he's the one who finally brings it to you and lets you share it in most profound ways. You can become a vehicle of Christ's joy, letting someone else experience the integrity and beauty and goodness of life through how you and I interact with each other, with our community, and with the world. Christ shared his joy by becoming one of us. Wouldn't think of it a very joyful experience. Christ shared his joy with you by laying down his life for you and me in his ministry and his death. Major work of Jesus, of God himself, that brings joy. brings joy into our life. And a sacrifice that created a community that 2,000 years later is still very much alive here. You want joy? Be a dedicated, faithful friend of Jesus and everything that he was about and came into the world to do. To give you and to give the world a gift of joy. And now we want to share it and celebrate it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your gift. So different than maybe we imagined it, and yet the very real thing. Help us to be aware of you, aware of that gift, to let it shape us, to be involved in the ministry of Jesus. In fact, to be his body today that brings joy in all the situations and circumstances that we experience, our losses, our gains, our challenges. We thank you that we can be held together with joy through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's respond with Hark the Glad Sound.